We may have questions about Steve Sarkisian as a head coach, but as a roster manager, I think he's proven that he's elite.
You are Locked On Longhorns, your daily podcast on the Texas Longhorns. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Longhorns, the show. Jonathan Davis, your host. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. On today's episode of Locked On Longhorns, Steve Sarkisian. We may have questions about him as a head coach, but in 3 years, he has proven at the University of Texas he is elite at roster management. Speaking of head coaches, Ronnie Terry is the newest head coach of the Texas men's basketball program. We talk about his press conference on Tuesday, as well as the future of this Texas basketball team. And no team is hotter in college baseball than your Texas Longhorns. 15 straight wins, the last four of them coming against Texas Tech. Ooh, and Texas A&M. Ooh. So we discuss all of that and more on today's episode of Locked On Longhorns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see I have on my Texas Rangers hat. It is a holiday. Before we get into anything Texas athletics, it is opening day. We get Major League Baseball, the best sport in the world, for the next 7 months. And I'm so excited as a Rangers fan, so excited for Jacob DeGrom to take us back to where we belong this year. For the first time since I was in high school, Jacob DeGrom is poised to lead the Rangers back to the World Series. So excited. So excited. When you talk about this Texas football team and Steve Sarkisian, you may have questions about him as a head coach. He has never won 10 games as a head coach. I think he has yet to win a signature game at the University of Texas. Some people will point to Oklahoma last year. I don't even know who Oklahoma had at quarterback. Hard pass on that one for me. And Kansas State, it was on the road. They did win the Big 12, but I need a little bit more than that, right? But I think he has the opportunity to definitely get his first signature win at the University of Texas this year. And Texas has big expectations, right? They always do, but especially this year when you look at the roster, Big 12 championship expectations. But I think they have more than enough talent on this roster, more than enough talent on the coaching staff to achieve that goal. Let's take a minute and look back at the 2021 roster, what Steve Sarkisian came in with, that team that went 5-7. Now, they were very talented, too talented to go 5-7. But let's compare that roster to where we are now. So let's just have a moment of silence for that roster in 2021. Thank you for that. And when you look at that 2021 roster, now look at what we have poised to take the field in 2023. It is night and day. And you can make the argument going into week two in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, against Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide, that Texas goes into that game with more talent on paper than Alabama does. How many times have you been able to say that in this dominant Nick Saban era, right? So that just, like I said, all the credit in the world goes out to Steve Sarkisian and this staff for proving to be elite at roster management and construction thus far in 3 years at the 40 Acres. And when you look at it position by position, there's just dogs everywhere you look. And when you start with quarterback, the most important position on the field, I'm so excited for the growth and development of Quinn Ewers. Everybody around him is saying he is poised for a big year. And I thought the two biggest things that held Quinn Ewers back last year was his lack of confidence and the game was moving too fast for him, right? I don't think last year when he had that tough stretch in conference play, he forgot how to be a quarterback or he forgot how to play football. But I did think he forgot how to beat Quinn Ewers. And we saw a little bit of that comeback in the second half against Washington, right? But like I said, but his second year in development, second year in the system, second year just as a college student, period, right? He was under a lot of pressure last year. I expect him to be more confident. And I'm a Cowboys fan. In the coaching meetings the other day, Mike McCarthy said that if you want your players to play fast, you have to make things simple for them. And I thought the game was moving really fast for Quinn Ewers last year, which is what slowed him down. You like that? The game was moving too fast. That's what slowed him down. All right. And I'm not sure if Steve Sarkisian was making things too complex for Quinn Ewers or just his youth and inexperience was making the game too fast for him. But like I said, second year in development, second year in the system, just more confidence. I expect things to slow down for him this year. And I expect Texas to be really proficient on offense led by Quinn Ewers as their starting quarterback. And then when you talk about Malik Murphy, you'd be hard pressed to find five or six more talented backup quarterbacks with real NFL potential than Texas has in Malik Murphy. And then, of course, Arch Manning, number one player in his class, right, is your third string quarterback. So find me a quarterback room with three more talented quarterbacks at the top. I haven't done my research, so I can't say for sure Texas has the best top three in college football, but I'm willing to say without even looking, it has to be top five. When you move to the running back position, of course, people are going to say that, you know, this room is going to take a step back without Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson. And obviously, they're both two NFL caliber running backs, Bijan Robinson being, you know, I think the fourth or fifth best player, according to most NFL draft analysts. Not saying he'll go fourth or fifth, but just in terms of prospect rankings. So you do lose the high-end talent in that room that you have. I think the ceiling of that room goes down a little bit when you have Bijan and Roschon. But when you talk about a room that has Jonathan Brooks, who has shown in limited touches he can be a superstar at the 40 acres, Keenan Robinson gives you so much in the running and passing game as well on special teams. Cedric Baxter, as a true freshman, is going to have an impact this year. He looks like a grown man, literally. Jaden Blue was talked about being one of the most explosive players in spring practices, former number one running back in the country before he opted out for his senior year. And then Savion Redd, since he moved to the running back position, has gotten nothing but rave reviews damn near in every practice, right? So when you got five players in that room, in the running back room, that could all legitimately make plays for you this year. Like I said, you don't have the high-end talent that you had in Bijan and Roschon, but that floor, I mean, that room has a very high floor, and I expect a lot of production from the running back position, as we're used to seeing every year at the University of Texas, damn near. I expect that this year. When you talk about the wide receiver room, we've heard about the true freshmen and DeAndre Moore and Jonte Cook already coming in and looking like seasoned vets damn near in terms of catching the ball, running routes, and just getting acclimated to what's been thrown at them in spring practice. And of course, you have Xavier Worthy, who already shown at his best as one of the best receivers in the country. Jordan Whittington, who's going to have a really good year in the slot. They talked about him not only making plays underneath, but making more plays down the field in his development and maturation as a wide receiver. We've heard all the rave reviews about A.D. Mitchell, the transfer from Georgia, about his size, his speed, but his ability to still be fluid and break DBs down in terms of his route running. We've heard Casey Kane has been an improved route runner and a welcome sight in spring practices. So there's just so much talent in that room. And that's not to mention, you know, Brennan Thompson, who probably has 4.2, 4.3 speed. Isaiah Nayor, who last time he was healthy, averaged almost 20 yards a catch. Ryan Niblett, who runs a 10.4, right? So there's just so much talent in that wide receiver room. Tight end, JT Sanders is one of the probably one of the three best tight ends in the country. Gunnar Helm, definitely no slouch at that tight end two position. Left tackle, you have a true superstar in Kelvin Banks. At right tackle, if Christian Jones keeps that position, you have a plus starter in Christian, wherever he's going to be one of the five best linemen. So wherever they put him, you have a plus starter in Christian Jones, and then you have more than enough talent from the last two recruiting cycles to have plus talent, I mean, have a plus starter on that interior offensive line, depending on who the five best are going into the season. And then that's just on the offensive side of the ball. When you talk about the defensive side of the ball, it's the same story. I think Tavondre Sweat is one of the best interior defensive linemen in the country. And I think after the season, we'll be talking about Byron Murphy as one of the best interior defensive linemen in the country. And Alfred Collins, who we've been waiting on to really make that big splash since 2020, I think this is the year that he does it in that rotation behind Sweat and Murphy. And then you got players like Shadir Mitchell coming up, learning that position. You got Jare Bledsoe playing inside and outside at the University of Texas in terms of interior defensive line, and then playing with the edges as well. And then we talk about the edge position. You got Baron Sorrell, who I expect to have a really good year. Justice Finkley, who I expect to have a really good year. And you talk about what's behind them in a Jamon Tapp, a Jare Bledsoe, a Ethan Burke, a Tasili Alcana, just an embarrassment of riches on that defensive line. When you talk about what we have in terms of the linebacker position, you start with an All-American in Jalen Ford, who is poised to have a better year than he did last year, or at least build off of what he did last year. I think David Benda and Mo Blackwell are two experienced veterans on the Texas football team that can make a lot of plays for you at that position. And you talk about the young developing talent you have, and the number one linebacker in the country, and Anthony Hill, Leona LaFalle, Samaje Burrell, and Darion Gallette. Just crazy talent at that linebacker position. And it does not stop when you get to the DBs. Because when you talk about the safety position, you have Jalen Catalan, who is a former All-SEC safety, who is kind of getting his workload managed right now. So Keaton Crawford has stood up in that role, and I've heard so much about his development and the way he's been making plays in spring practice. I thought Jaren Thompson was very steady for us last year, could have gotten, you know, honorable mention as an all Big 12 performer. I think he'll be an all Big 12 performer this year. And then you got players like, you know, Michael Taft, behind him at the safety position as well, who's shown he can be a playmaker at times. And when you talk about corner, you bring back one of the best nickel star slots, whatever you want to call him, and Jahdae Barron, you know, in that slot corner position. Ryan Watts, one of the best outside corners, had a really good year last year. I expect him to have a better year this year. Terrence Brooks really held his own in starting duty last year in place of Deshaun Jameson at that position. Then you have Gavin Holmes behind him, Gavin Holmes competing for that spot, who has 2 years of experience in the ACC. He's been really good in spring practices. And then Malik Muhammad, who would be your fifth, sixth, maybe even seventh corner on your depth chart right now, was the number two corner coming out of high school this year, right, coming into college. So just a crazy embarrassment of riches at every position damn near on this Texas football team. It makes sense why they have Big 12 championship expectations in their last year in the Big 12. And as I'll continue to say, they have more than enough talent on this roster and on this coaching staff to achieve that goal. We can say whatever we want about Steve Sarkisian thus far as a head coach at the University of Texas, even though I think he'll answer those questions this year. But one thing we should not debate anymore is his ability to build a team, because going into this year, Texas has one of the best rosters we have ever seen at the 40 acres. A quick word from FanDuel, and then we're going to talk about one of the newest head coach, I should say, at the 40 acres. Rodney Terry got the interim tag removed. The tournament is heating up. Who cares? And there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. I just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon, sign up, make every moment more with FanDuel. Who cares about the NCAA tournament? Texas isn't in it. Y'all saw them ticket prices drop $100 when Texas got eliminated? Stop playing, boy. I live across the street, and I have no interest in paying even $150 to go see UConn versus Miami. That's going to be a really good game, though. Or San Diego State and FAU. It's like the Final Four tournament is just dead to me this year. I guess this is how Texas fans act when their team gets back to the Elite Eight, right? It's at least how I'm acting. Look, speaking of Rodney Terry and this Texas basketball team, I said it before, but I'm just so proud of what they were able to accomplish this year. You know, when you looked at coming into the season, there was a lot of excitement. I can't really say there was a lot of expectations, but there was a lot of excitement for this Texas basketball team. You knew this was one of the best rosters. Gosh, you knew this was one of the best rosters in college basketball. And, you know, it was a really exciting time. And after you beat Gonzaga and after you beat Creighton, this team looked like a legit national championship contender. And then a week after that, it feels like it all comes crashing down when Chris Beard gets arrested. And we didn't know what to expect from the Texas basketball team moving forward. We saw that night they went to overtime against Rice. And, you know, a lot of people felt like this season would be lost. Just get to the offseason, you know, go through a coaching search and try to build that momentum that Chris Beard was starting to build at the 40 acres. And what happened after that was Rodney Terry, the staff, the managers, and this players went on a journey that I will remember for the rest of my life. You know, I know people say they don't hang banners for Elite Eight teams. They don't remember Elite Eight teams, but that's a team I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. And I think that team really made me fall in love with basketball again. I think that team was the most fun I've had watching basketball since I was in high school. I'm a Bulls fan. So since I was in high school watching Derrick Rose, and those Bulls teams under Tom Thibodeau have the best record in the league just to run into LeBron James and the Heat. And maybe KD with the Warriors, but you knew the Warriors were going to win anytime KD was healthy. So I would say that's the most fun I've had watching basketball. Watching this Texas basketball team, that's the most fun I've had watching the sport in over 10 years. And you just have to give so much credit for the resilience that everybody on this team showed. Like I said, from Rodney Terry to the rest of the staff, to the players, to the managers, everybody. And I want to give credit to the administration, because I had been critical of them, not to the level of Dick Vitale saying there was a lack of class that Rodney Terry hadn't been hired yet, but I had been critical about them not hiring Rodney Terry yet. I didn't believe in, I guess, the general consensus that they should wait till after the tournament. There was a week between the round of 32 and the Sweet 16. I thought that they could have did that week. We saw how fast it came together after the Elite Eight, with him agreeing to a contract the next day and the press conference being on Tuesday. So, you know, I thought that he deserved to coach in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight with some job security. But nonetheless, you know, it all worked out in the end. And I just want to give credit to the administration for making the right decision and making a very timely decision. because there was no room for uncertainty with Rodney Terry. He earned the right to not have any uncertainty regarding his future as the head coach at the University of Texas. But also, there's players in the transfer portal that need to know who's the head coach at Texas is going to be. You had Ron Holland and A.J. Johnson who reaffirmed their commitment. But they needed to know who the head coach was going to be. Once they found out it was Rodney Terry, they reaffirmed their commitment. You got Texas players on this basketball team, namely Arterio Morris, Dylan Dessou, and Dylan Mitchell, who you have to re-recruit to come back to Texas next year. You can't do that as the interim head coach in Rodney Terry. So I thought that they did a really good job of making him the head coach right away. And that's the best for this program. We already seen since his press conference on Wednesday, yesterday, he flew out to the DFW to visit Ron Holland in-house and then also visit, I think, Trey Holloway, the number one player in the 2024 class. So DFW is really becoming the mecca for high school basketball, and Rodney Terry already has a great relationship with the number one player in the 2024 class. We know Rodney Terry's reputation as an ace recruiter under Chris Beard and Rick Barnes, and he led us into that, letting us know that even when Chris Beard was here, he was the primary recruiter for Ron Holland and A.J. Johnson, two five-stars coming into the 40 Acres next year. I've talked about the development of players, but also the development of coaches, and I've seen the development of Rodney Terry as a head coach over this year. He's already been a head coach, so he knew how to speak to the media. He knew how to handle certain things, but I thought he got more confident, and you could start to really see his imprint on this team and the imprint he wanted to put on this program as we got further along, right? I thought in the beginning, you know, there were times where, you know, as the head coach, he may have looked nervous or maybe not looked confident or didn't know what to say or didn't know how to address the media. And I thought towards the end, he was very confident, even dealing with tough, you know, questions. Every time you step to the podium, they're asking you about your interim tag and, you know, do you feel like you should be the head coach? And he just handled everything in the press conferences, just like he handled everything this year with poise, class, and maturity. Right. And we saw that from every member of this Texas basketball team. And I thought he knocked his opening press conference out of the park. I thought that he laid out a really good vision for the Texas basketball team. I love how he ended his opening remarks saying Texas will be a Monday night basketball program and they'll be there, you know, sooner than you think. I loved how he talked about how we're going to emphasize defense, you know, and that's really what carried them to a Big 12 championship tournament and an Elite Eight was their defense, but also talked about, you know, being able to attack teams in a multiple of ways. And I think he's already shown his ability to recruit or be a part of a staff that can recruit really well. And I'm very excited about this Texas basketball team moving forward. You know, it'd be interesting to see what they do in the transfer portal. They definitely need to bring in 2 to 3 players to fortify this roster. Like I said, you need to go full court press on Dylan Dessou to try to come and get him to come back and be your number one option on offense. We saw Ron Holland in the All-American game, A.J. Johnson, two very talented five-stars who are going to have a role. I think if Dylan Mitchell and Arterio Morris come back, they're going to be much improved. I think Tyrese Hunter coming back with another year experience, he'll be really good. Brock Cunningham coming back, some other players on the Texas basketball team. So I think the future of Texas basketball is bright under Rodney Terry. As he said in his press conference, he's been here for some of the best seasons in Texas basketball history, period. And so he knows how to win at the University of Texas. He knows what it takes to be elite at the University of Texas. And he said he won't stop. As we saw the day after his press conference, getting on a plane to go to the DFW and recruit, he won't stop until Texas is a Monday night program. And, you know, I talked about during the NCAA tournament how stars are born during that tournament. We saw, you know, Marquise Noel. You know, you talk about Dusty May, the coach from FAU. You know, Jim Laurinaga from Miami is getting that renewed sense of credit after what he did for George Mason, right? Talked about Dylan Dessou kind of became a star in the tournament. You know, there's just – that is the time where people shine, right? The head coach from Fairleigh Dickinson, after they beat Purdue, the players from St. Peter's last year, the Doug Eater dude, like you just become a star in the tournament. That's when the majority of the country finds out about you, and if you're good, falls in love with you. And I think the majority of the country during this tournament run fell in love with Rodney Terry, and that's only going to bode well for the University of Texas and recruiting for this Texas basketball team moving forward. So I want to applaud just the entire Texas basketball team and the administration for leading us on a really good season this year, a great season, an unforgettable season, a season that made me fall in love with college basketball again. And I want to thank the administration for making the right decision and a timely decision on Rodney Terry. And I fully expect Rodney Terry, as he said in his own words, to turn Texas into a Monday night program sooner than you think. Also, I want to talk about the Texas baseball team. Like I said, 15 straight wins. Nobody in college baseball is on a streak like that right now. And it started after this team, you know, started off 4-7 with some tough losses to some SEC teams, right? LSU, number one team in the country. They lost to them. They lost to Missouri. They lost to Arkansas. Started off the season 4-7 compared to starting it off 11-0 last year. And we looked at this Texas baseball team and said, is this a rebuilding year for the Horns? Do they have a chance to get to Omaha and compete in conference play in the Big 12? And after 11 games, I think, I wouldn't say the consensus answer, but I think most people would have said no, right? Like most people would have said they don't think this Texas baseball team has a chance to go far. Since then, this team has won 15 straight games. They started off the season ranked number 50th in the country. They're now currently ranked 21st. And a lot of people said that the first 11 games of that homestand, right? They played Texas A&M on the road, but the first 14 of the 15 wins were at home. And people said that first 11 games, they didn't play anybody. They were playing Manhattan and Sam Houston State. And I can't even remember who else they played, but there weren't any marquee names, right? So people said, okay, well, this run is fool's gold. As soon as they played Texas Tech or Texas A&M, who they hadn't beaten in 5 years, that streak is going to end. And so for this Texas baseball team to start conference play, win three straight games, sweep Texas Tech over the weekend with two walk-offs, and then come back on Tuesday in a hostile environment in College Station and win that baseball game as well ahead of a weekend series against Oklahoma State, I think it bodes really well for this Texas baseball team moving forward. And it just shows that our projections of them before this season and our projections of them after 11 games were wrong, right? This is a Texas baseball team that has gelled. They're hitting on all cylinders, and the hitting and the fielding has caught up to the pitching. Even though the pitching, the starting pitching has been shaky at times over this run, they're just finding ways to win. And I think that's the biggest thing in baseball, right? It's that sport where, you know, you can kind of throw talent out the window. You need talent, but it's really, you know, more than any sport, it's about leaning on your brothers. And they have found a way to get this offense hitting on all cylinders, passing the baton, right? You're not seeing a whole ton of home runs. They've gotten some more pop in their bats, but also they're just getting singles, right? Putting together really good at-bats, hitting doubles, getting on base, taking walks, right? Really good base running. And that's all leading to runs and what has led to this 15-game win streak. And like I said, they cleaned up on the defensive end, and the pitching has been inconsistent in terms of the starting pitching bringing it or the bullpen bringing it, but it's been enough to win 15 straight games. So very excited about this Texas baseball team moving forward. And what looked like a lost season earlier is looking like a very promising season heading into, or I guess not heading into conference play because they already played Texas Tech, but heading back into conference play with a big weekend series against Oklahoma State. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Locked On Longhorns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hook 'em. And peace.